All lines are now bridged.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup meeting. If you joined the full HITECH meeting yesterday, you know that we shared a set of early recommendations from this group, and so today's conversation will continue with that, as well as some additional content. So we will go ahead and call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. Carolyn Peterson?
I'm here.
And I believe Erin Mary is going to be late, so we'll circle back later. Christina Caraballo?
I am here.
Brett Oliver? Not yet. And Chesley Richard also said that he was not going to be able to attend today. So with that, I will turn it over to Carolyn just to review the scope, and then we'll get started.
Okay, thanks, Lauren. So here we have the membership and the ONC assigned to the project were on display. It's myself, Erin Meary, Christina Caraballo, Brett Oliver, and Chesley Richards. And then on the ONC side, we have Dr. Rucker, Elise Sweeney Anthony, Seth Pazinski, Lauren Ritchie, and Michelle Murray. We could have the next slide, please. So to go back over the scope, kind of the overarching scope is to inform, contribute to, and review draft and final versions of the HITECH annual report. That's the work that will be going to the HHS Secretary and to Congress. What we want to do is, as part of that work is to track ongoing HITECH progress, and additionally we'll be bringing up some other activities and suggested work for the future. So at a more detailed level, we need to provide specific feedback on the content of the report as required by the 21st Century Cures Act, in particular focusing on analyzing the HITECH progress related to the priority target areas, assessing health IT infrastructure and advancements in the priority target areas, analyzing existing gaps in policies and resources for the priority target areas, and coming up with some ideas for potential HITECH activities to address the identified gaps. Next slide, please. So the priority target areas are defined under the 21st Century Cures Act, and they are in three particular areas: interoperability, that would be achieving the health IT infrastructure that allows electronic access, exchange, and use of health information. That would be privacy and security, which is promotion and protection of privacy and security of health information and health IT. And also patient access, facilitation of secure access by an individual and their caregiver to that individual's protected health information. We also have latitude to address any other target area related to those that I just previously mentioned that HITECH identifies as an appropriate target area to be considered on a temporary basis with notice to Congress. So we do have some latitude in that respect. The next slide, please. This is the meeting schedule for the work group. We've had four meetings. We'll meet today and then again in November, December, and likely some additional meetings in 2019. But those will be more forward-looking towards the next year's work. Next slide, please. And this is the schedule that the full HITECH will be on in terms of looking at the work product here. In November, at that meeting, we will look at the description of HITECH's work in fiscal year 2018. In January, we will be reviewing the full annual report, and then later in the spring, we'll have the approval by HITECH, submission to the HHS Secretary and to Congress. Next slide, please. So we wanted to look at some feedback from the HITECH full committee at yesterday's meeting, looking for suggestions for the current state topics and advancements listed in the landscape analysis, suggestions for gaps and opportunities that we had included in the gap analysis section, and then some thoughts about recommendations for high-tech activities that would address the gaps and opportunities that we'd identified. Next slide, please. So here's the proposed fiscal year 2018 annual report structure. We'll start with an executive summary, go into an overview, review high-tech progress in fiscal year 2018, have a landscape analysis and a gap analysis of the health IT infrastructure. We'll make some recommendations for addressing health IT infrastructure gaps. There will be suggestions for additional high-tech activities, and then a conclusion and some appendices that we envision would include links to other resources from ONC and elsewhere that are relevant to what's in the report and to the future work by high-tech. Next slide, please. So, content for gap analysis. For each priority target area, we have gaps identified and some opportunities identified. Next slide, please. So, with regard to interoperability, the gaps identified by the work group, things that we've worked on, you know, previously, ongoing efforts around open APIs, information blocking, the trusted exchange framework, and standards and implementation specifications, the lack of knowledge about user experience of health information exchange, unmet needs of additional care settings and stakeholder groups, a delay in timeliness between issuance of guidelines and development of technology, the need to increase the level of interoperability, the need to improve data quality, provenance, and usefulness, and infrastructure needs of stakeholder groups, particularly as they relate to broadband access. Next slide, please. And some opportunities for this priority target area include to establish usability metrics for health information exchange, expansion of priority use cases to meet additional care settings and stakeholder group needs, to address alignment of timeliness of guidelines and development of technology, incentives for change across stakeholder groups to improve level of interoperability and data quality, and support for increased broadband access across stakeholder groups, in particular underserved populations. Could I have the next slide, please? And some additional opportunities to continue to improve patient matching when sharing data, to address the reality gap between the perception of what the certification requires and its operationalization. And we had mentioned one example here related to the CCDA, but there are numbers of others that we could include as well. Next slide, please. So coming to the privacy and security gap analysis, some of the gaps that we've identified are the variability of information sharing policies across states, for example, with the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018, and what would happen if other states have similar but not the same legislation. There's a lack of knowledge about HIPAA and confidentiality of substance use disorder patient records, regulation implications. There's a lack of user control to share and disclose information. There's implications of the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation and Privacy Shield. We have variability in adoption of cybersecurity frameworks. There's a lack of user awareness and education about privacy and security settings, and then the implications of the emergence of the Internet of Things. Next slide, please. So some opportunities identified by the work group in this area would be increased uniformity of information sharing policies across states. You know, are there things we can do to try to encourage states to be more similar or more uniform? There's education about HIPAA and confidentiality of substance use disorder patient records regulation implications, granular levels of content to share and disclose information, address implications of the GDPR and the Privacy Shield, support for widespread adoption of cybersecurity frameworks, education of technology users about privacy and security settings, particularly for social media. Consider what to regulate about the Internet of Things. And we could continue to improve patient matching when sharing data. The next slide, please. And then coming to patient access to information, some gaps that we've identified include the lack of patient and caregiver access to patient data, the use and sharing of patient-generated health data and other data from mobile devices, the need to improve the alignment of timing of planning activities with operational impact of technology development, the potential for lack of net neutrality due to market forces, unmet infrastructure needs for underserved populations, the accessibility and usability of patient portals and other patient-facing technology continue to need improvement, and patient awareness and education about health IT resources, which we hope in part to address through the appendices in the report. The next slide, please. And then here are some opportunities that the work group has identified so far with regard to patient access to information. Could support use of APIs to improve access to patient data. Can consider the workflow and technology improvements that would increase use and sharing of PGHD and other data from mobile devices. Could better align the timing of planning activities with operational impact. We could consider implications of varying experiences with net neutrality at national, state, and local levels. We could support infrastructure needs for underserved populations, including exchange costs, prevalence of electronic equipment, internet access, availability of pharmacy services, and use of telehealth services. The next slide, please. And then a few more as well. Consider improvements to accessibility and usability of patient portals and other patient-facing technologies. We could encourage patient and caregiver education about health IT resources, and we could address that reality gap between the perception of what has been certified for a system and what is actually interoperable in the field. Next slide. So we've gone through the gap analysis there, and I'm wondering if this is a good time to have any further check-in on that work, or did you want to share anything? Anyone else on the committee? Or I see Aaron's joined us now.
Yes, I'm on the call. Thank you.
So, Caroline, I don't know if this is Christina. I was thinking about the feedback from the full committee yesterday, and I think that it was brought up that the structure was a little off, and I think that we had all the content that the committee was asking for, but as I was thinking through this, I don't know that it flows really well. So I had a recommendation on how we could restructure the slides. If you look at it in our deck, we go from the outline to the content for the gap analysis. And I think that that's where the confusion is. And we've got all the work in there. I think we just need to shift it around. So I would suggest that we add and label a little better. So I would suggest that we add specific charges as we go through to transition as headers, and I think it would just be a better flow. So, for example, I would recommend that after our outline report, we put a slide that says charge one, high-tech progress related to priority target use cases, and then we add the content that is at the end of this, even though we are working on it later and we want to add more. I think it'll just kind of give a better introduction and landscape in the slides. And then I think that we can transition to a second header that says charge number two, health IT infrastructure and advancement. And then we can go into our gap analysis with a new section that says charge three, existing gaps in policies and resources for priority target areas. And we've got this. I think it's just a matter of adding these transitions and headers. And then under each of these subsections for the priority target areas, we can then go into the, or sorry, under the gap analysis, we can go into each of the three target areas. One other thing I wanted to point out to the work group as I was kind of going through this on how we could just restructure the slides was that for our priority areas, we have interoperability, privacy and security, and patient access, but then we also have that other target areas related to the three that the HITECH identifies as appropriate, which Carolyn, you mentioned at the earlier in the discussion. We haven't actually had conversations around if we think that there are additional areas. So we might want to bring that up as an agenda item at some point. I just wanted to note it. And then after the third one, then we can go into our transition into charge number four, which is our suggestions for potential HITECH activities, which I believe we've got up right now on up for discussion. But I just think that would help it be more clear to the reader and when we kind of bring this back to the full committee.
Yeah,
I took notes on all that and I can send it to you because I was kind of like doing my own little outline in my head before the call.
Yep, and I think whatever we can do in terms of moving the slides around or retitling them or adding other transition slides in there to sort of help clarify what's where, I think that would be all to the good.
That would be helpful. I also thought about this, that perhaps, remember that Gantt chart that we had in the very beginning, some of the earlier slide versions where it had each of the sections and it had, you know, kind of that status of each item. It may be helpful to start off with that and just tell the full committee next time, like, these are the things in flight that are going to carry over. And these are the items that were, you know, maybe called idea placeholders that we want to talk about. And then we can go into detail about the idea placeholders now, you know, as we talk through things. I think folks are getting lost in all the verbiage versus seeing that one-stop shop.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do too. Good plan. Was that clear for you and your team, Michelle, what Christina suggested, or do you have questions about that?
I think it's helpful, and I'd like to see, you know, whatever she has to email to us as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, if you could scan that and send it out to the other work group members, I think that would be helpful. Because I think I sort of know what you mean, but it's always good to see it in a hard copy.
No problem.
So I think it's probably worth taking a last look just to see if there are any other points or issues or opportunities we want to add to the slides, or if we feel like we've pretty much covered that aspect of the work.
I thought it was fine. I think yesterday was just a presentation issue. It wasn't a content issue, like Christina was saying.
Okay, I'm good with that. I think it's good to feel like we're putting things to bed, and also to feel like we're not going to have to turn around and do some rework later when something else comes up that we didn't think about. But yeah, I think if everyone's comfortable with that, we can move on.
Agreed.
Sounds good.
Okay. So this brings us to the initial recommendation ideas. Do you want to read through those slides, Aaron, and
sure.
Kind of start
yeah.
that discussion?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Next slide, please. Let's go to the next slide. All right. So some of the potential recommendation ideas for interoperability. We talked about this yesterday with the big HITECH. You know, I am curious, because this is one of those around the reality gap that I know that everybody kind of can speak to from their own perspectives, and I even talked to it from my own perspective yesterday when we were explaining about it with the big high tech. I'm just curious, particularly from, you know, you all, are there other examples you want to add here about the reality gap? Are there other issues that we want to speak towards? I mean, I think this is a big opportunity for high tech to really help fix this, if it's a perception issue or it's a reality issue. What do you all think?
Would it be helpful to call out that in some cases the business system functionality is at a more advanced place than some of the health data sharing functionality, and to note that that creates challenges that are not always immediately understandable and fixable because there's so much variation among the non-clinical systems that wind up being a part of what's interoperable. I mean, I think within the informatics community, we sort of all just know that, and we don't even talk about it anymore because it's just kind of a baseline belief. But speaking to a wider audience where people are not so familiar with all the functionalities, might that be helpful for us and for readers?
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's a very good thought. Any other feedback? Christina, Brett, or anybody?
No, I just kind of had a question in general. So we're going into our recommendation ideas, and I know that this is lifted out of one of the kind of opportunities under our gap analysis. How did we pick which ones we were going to focus on our opportunities that were identified? Are we going through each of them, and then are we narrowing it down? What's the process on that?
I understood it, and Carolyn, correct me if I'm wrong, that we wanted to present this slate back to the high tech, and for the high tech to figure out and kind of prioritize. We really think passionately about, you know, of these, I'm making this up, of these 20 items, these five rise to the top. And this will be the high tech recommendation back to the ONC and whatnot. Carolyn, what would you understand?
Yeah, I think the high tech definitely wants to have some involvement in prioritization. You know, what I was hearing yesterday is that there's definitely some desire to perhaps revisit some of the work that was done, particularly around the TEFCA. And I don't know how much activity that will involve, but I get the sense that people don't see it as check the box and move on, you know, that they feel that there's some ongoing observance or perhaps engagement there to be had for the future. And I think we would fail if we didn't at least create the opportunity for there to be some engagement and discussion at the high tech level about what role they want to play, and, you know, is that voting on priorities, or is that saying here's a list of things we think are important, and then here's another list that we think are important but not as important as the first list, you know, or what? I mean, really, this work product is to represent the views of the 30 or so people that are on the committee, so I think we have to take some direction from them as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, I completely agree, and I think that this, I see where you've got, it's just a different order. The next slide has all the rest of the areas of opportunities.
Right.
So that makes
all
sense.
Right.
I want to get my head around it. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. This is. I think we are the representatives of the high tech, which is why this work group is just high tech members, because the high tech has to come back and recommend this. So we're doing all the legwork to give back to them so they make the final decision.
Makes sense.
All right. Let's go to the next slide. Other opportunities for further consideration: interoperability, obviously usability metrics, the, you know, priority use cases for additional care settings and stakeholder groups, addressing alignment and timeliness of guidelines, the development of technology, incentives for change across stakeholder groups to improve the level of interoperability and data quality, supporting the increased broadband access and improve patient matching when sharing data. I can tell you that the patient matching one obviously has a lot of recent press around it, as do all these items. But, I mean, there's all of these items are ripe for high-tech further consideration, particularly when it matches back to other initiatives like TEFCA and others. Let's go next slide. Potential activities identified by the work group to date obviously increase the uniformity of information sharing practices across the states, and then, of course, support the widespread adoption of cybersecurity frameworks. We talked about this yesterday with large HITACH. I'm curious whether there's any more feedback from this smaller group about these two items, or is this pretty much, to me, this is common sense. This is mom and apple pie stuff, but I'm curious if anybody else feels that way or has other feelings strongly.
Yeah, I think this is just pretty baseline stuff that we can't ignore, but maybe don't necessarily need to go into a great deal of detail about in the report. It's more of reiterating support for things that have been of concern to ONC and the public and the healthcare community for quite a while.
And on this, it might be, we have kind of the new offices in state policies. We put it in our area on privacy and security, but we might want to actually add it to a gap under interoperability as well. So adding a gap under interoperability to add the variance in state governance, and then an opportunity to just understand those nuances for exchange.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point. I was just thinking through that. That's a fair point.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Let's go to the next slide. All right. Other opportunities there, education around HIPAA and substance disorder, confidentiality of substance disorder, rather, granular levels of consent to share and disclose information, which I think also ties back to that, you know, how do you identify a patient appropriately? Address implications of the GDPR and Privacy Shield, education around for technology users around privacy and security settings, especially social media, and consider what to regulate around IoT. And Carolyn, I really appreciated you highlighting this one yesterday, that we really haven't talked about this. And IoT is becoming really the center of the universe for healthcare and what's going on and all these different companies moving into it. So I don't know if we like asterisk and bold that. I mean, that's actually becoming more and more prevalent as time goes on. And then, like I said, last but not least, continue to improve patient matching when sharing data. To me, if you looked at this and sort of ranked and stacked it, if you take the regulations and the law items out, just because those have to be done, we have to figure that out, it all comes back to how do you identify people and how do you identify machines and how do you manage those people and machines effectively with the right security and privacy controls. So, I think all of these can be summed up and boiled together and some, you know, stitched together in terms of storytelling. And I was going to see, is that maybe easier if we start trying to add explanations of real life issues that have hampered folks for each of these, so that when we present the next version to HITACH, we can say, here's an example. Right. Here's an example of what happened at, take my previous lives, Children's Dallas. Here's what happened when trying to identify a minor that didn't have their parent because of a car accident or whatever, and the issues we had with that. You know, things like that. So something to consider.
Right. And what can we reasonably expect, or what assumptions can we make about the future, given recent FDA action in terms of the way that it's going to regulate or, you know, choose to define some things as not being part of their regulation,
mm-hmm.
that may have some kinds of patient engagement, like can be some mHealth apps, could be some kinds of devices. I'm not the legal or regulatory authority, but I have seen a number of things come down in the last few months, and certainly they're promoting it. So that's something that's on the horizon. I don't know that it's something we need to think about today, but if it's not on the 2019 agenda, it's probably something to emphasize. We definitely need to be thinking about in 2020.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
A few more of that technology come into play.
Right. I agree with that. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. Potential activities identified by the work group to date, obviously supporting, this is for patient access information, supporting the use of APIs, which I think we're doing. We can continue to do more. And again, I give a lot of credit to ONC and CMS and all the groups out there for embracing APIs and pushing forward. It's great. You know, another opportunity supporting infrastructure needs for underserved populations, including exchange costs, prevalence of electronic equipment, internet access, pharmacy service, telehealth services. We talked about this yesterday with the large high tech. You know, how do you measure the impact of the monetization of exchange of data? And, you know, even in our last committee meeting here, we, you know, we talked about the fact that people are taking these data silos or data lakes and monetizing them. And how do we, you know, will that be an impediment to patient access in the future? I don't know. Is that something patients need to be better aligned to? We need to talk about it. All those items are impacting or have the potential to impact care and impact the progress to deliver care. So how do we begin to wrap our mind around that? Are there any thoughts around that?
I think the whole issue with APIs can be confusing to a lot of people in healthcare because it's one of those invisible things that sort of happens, and you can't always tell when you have one doing something that you just take as part of your job or your day-to-day job flow. I think we definitely want to continue supporting and pushing for infrastructure issues related to underserved groups. You know, it's the new technology brings new needs, it changes workflows, and if we don't have the infrastructure, then there's no adaptability, no option to be able to adapt it. So I think we have to keep pushing on that.
Right.
This is Christina. I don't know if this is the right place, but one thing that I think is that I'd like to add to kind of priority areas is looking specifically at standards around social determinants of health. I know that with APIs, in the context of this slide, we're looking at access to information. But when we think about the patient actually giving information back to the health ecosystem, I think that we're still hitting major roadblocks because we don't really know how that happens. And if you even look at some of the initiatives around patient engagement and data sharing and sharing of information from the patient side, a lot of it has gone from, you know, we see it in meaningful use. Like we saw patient-generated health data in there, and then we saw it come out. And their ONC has kind of asked the community to look at how we actually get patient-generated health data into the systems. And I feel like as we talk about it a lot, but even organizations that want to start incorporating patient data and social determinants of health, I know they're different, but kind of bundle them together, it's kind of like the how do you do it? And I don't think that there's a clear roadmap on that, and I think that it's causing it's just a major challenge when we're looking at how we move forward with a lot surrounding patient engagement initiatives from a lot of stakeholders. And that can be from your care coordinators to your researchers to, I mean, the list goes on, but a lot of different use cases that we've discussed.
Good points. Very good points. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Other potential activities, consider the improvements to accessibility and usability of patient portals and other patient-facing technology. Measure the amount and length of time a portal has been online and working properly, patient engagement or patient understanding of data. And I have a new one to add. Here's a new one. Here's my bugaboo why I was a few minutes late to this call. Some vendors that provide portals do not provide multi-language portals. They only provide portals in English. Well, guess what? I have a huge Spanish-speaking population. That's a very difficult proposition for all my Spanish-speaking patients, and they can't access their data. So I am now in a discussion with my vendor to alleviate that, which is unfortunately not a standard option as part of their portal technology. So how about we measure the ability to be multilingual to various respective audiences or something like that?
Yep.
This is Christina. That's, go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a problem the country over, and it's a particular problem in places that have subpopulations with less common languages. We think about Spanish, but in some places it's Mandarin, in some places it's Russian.
Right. Or if you're like in Alaska, it's the tribal languages up there and whatnot.
Yep.
I mean, it's just
absolutely
issues.
Absolutely. That's a good thing to keep on the list.
So another thing to note is that the certification, so the 2015 edition, and I'll lean on ONC to correct me on this completely, but I believe that it only requires two languages, and that second language may be optional. But it might be something that we recommend or discuss supporting or requiring the use of more languages within the certification, because that's going to be the root.
I didn't realize that. That's a great call out. That is a great call out. We really should put that on this list too. If you're spot on with that, that should be on this list, because we have to move the ball forward in terms of healthcare. And I was truly dumbfounded to note that this wasn't a standard offering from the product that I use from a very major, well-respected vendor. And they kind of just shrugged like, well, why would it be? I'm just, the disconnect is appalling. So we have to call more attention to make sure that more swaths of the population can be serviced.
And it may be that a way to frame that is, should include the capability to work with other languages as deemed appropriate or needful by the local organization or the local population, because
right.
I think some organizations will be progressive and say, yeah, it's in our best interest, it relates to the outcomes that we have to report for these particular things to these particular agencies. Others will say, gosh, it's a large expense that we aren't able to easily manage, and it's a small population, and you'll have that need or that goal driven by community groups, who've organized and are advocating on behalf of the population itself, regardless of who drives it. I don't think we can say it's that you should also be able to do X language, XYZ, in addition to Spanish. It should be reasonably easily customizable to meet the needs of the local user community.
I would agree, and including ADA compliant, right? So how do you deal with patients that have disabilities? In order to make a product for the federal government, if you're going to sell into like the VA or whatnot, they require you to meet certain standards of code that are ADA compliant. So your products have to work across multiple types of consumers, which I totally agree with. How is that not the standard in uniformity for any product developer in healthcare IT? I don't know.
Yeah, it just didn't get thought about way back when, and it hasn't, there hasn't been the push to change it going forward. So we can be the push.
Right. That's exactly right. I think this could be a huge win for patients and a great, bullhorn that we can blow and say, hey, time out. Let's really call attention to this and help everybody, not just one kind of patient. So anyways, that's my soapbox for the day. All right, next slide.
They're good ones, Darren. You can have more soapboxes.
They just require the WCAG 2.0 requirements, but it's like a low level, and the higher level is optional.
Got it.
For the certification.
Interesting. Okay. We'll have to definitely bring that note back to ONC as well. So all good. All right, other opportunities for further consideration. Consider the workflow and tech improvements for the increased use and sharing of patient-generated health data and data from mobile devices. Obviously, the impact of clinical-grade data collected by patients on testing costs. Better aligned timing of planning activities, operational impacts, and consider implications of varying experiences of net neutrality at the national, state, and local levels. There's so many different dynamics impacting patient care. And there was a great article this morning about the tech titans getting into patient-generated health data, and obviously like the Apples, the Amazons, the world. And this is just further going to become an issue. So whatever we can do to help start helping the patient side of things, I think will be a big cause. That's my two cents.
I agree.
All right. Let's move on. All right. Next slide. All right. This will be our content for the FY18 High Tech Progress Outline. All right. So this is kind of our crosswalk of the priority target areas for 18 as based and called out in CURES, with interoperability, privacy, security, patient access, and of course, these additional target areas that we've been sort of talking about. This is the crosswalk I was speaking about earlier today that I think maybe would have been helpful to lead with for the big high tech yesterday. I think they thought we had forgotten that obviously TEF and USCDI and all these things were going on, and we hadn't. We just jumped right into the recommendations first, so it just escaped everybody's mind. But these are the items that are being worked on, and obviously they'll be scored appropriately as we move along the way. Next slide. All right, so the TEF, obviously the overarching charge there was to develop and advance recommendations of Part A, Part B of the draft TEF to inform development of the final TEF and common agreement. The specific charge there is to make specific recommendations and language included in the minimum required terms and conditions of Part B, including an RCE, recognized coordinating entity, the definition of requirements of qualified QNs, permitted uses and disclosures on privacy and security. What have we done in 18 already? We've had 9 public meetings of the task force and transmitted 26 recommendations to the National Coordinator for Health IT. Next slide. The USCDI task force, obviously there's the overarching charge to provide feedback on USCDI. So the specific charge was to provide recommendations on the mechanisms, approaches to receive stakeholder feedback regarding data classes, proposed categories to which data classes would be promoted, how the USCDI would be expanded and by how much, and any factors associated with the frequency of it. Our accomplishments in FY18 is we held 9 meetings of the task force and transmitted 9 recommendations to the National Coordinator for Health IT. You know, and these two, on these past two slides, I happen to have been part of the task forces. I know we sum it up in a really simple sentence, but there was a lot of work that went on behind the scenes. So there's so many people to thank for those two items that, you know, 9 public meetings, but maybe a couple of dozen, major email discussions and, you know, write-ups and just great work by a number of people. So I just want to take the moment to just hats off to everybody who were part of those work groups. Next slide. All right, Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force, the recommendations on the priority uses of health information technology and associated standards. The ISP Task Force would make the recommendations of the following: the priority uses of health IT consistent with CURES, standards development implementation specifications that best support or may need to be developed for each identified priority, and subsequent steps for industry and government action, and publish a report. The accomplishments in FY18 were we held 6 public meetings, and we produced an initial list of priority uses for further discussion. And that ISP task force is still meeting and ongoing and really delving deep and just doing some great, great work on that. Keep going. Next slide. All right, so administrative requirements. The policy framework states that, in general, the HITACH will recommend to the national coordinator a policy framework for adoption by the secretary consistent with the strategic plan, and the framework shall prioritize achieving requirements. Sorry, my computer just froze here. All right, stay consistent with the strategic plan. I say that a policy framework shall seek to prioritize advancing achievements and may, to the extent with the section, incorporate policy recommendations under the 21st Century Cures Act. So our accomplishments, we transmitted a recommended policy framework to the ONC for ORNC activities, the National Coordinator on Health IT on 2/21 of 18. Next slide. HITECH Annual Work Group. The HITECH was formed formed a work group to inform, contribute, and review draft and final versions of the HITECH Annual Report. That's what this group is. We consist of five HITECH members, all of us, two of whom act as work group co-chairs. In 18, we have established the scope of the work group's activities and support and development at FY18 report. We've held three public meetings of the work group and updated the full HITECH committee on 9/5 and, of course, yesterday. Next slide. Okay, so before I go to this section, are there any other comments from this work group on what we have done for the year or how things are going?
I think that may be a section that gets extended discussion and perhaps some discussion about how we frame the language around some of the things that have been accomplished, particularly with regards to TEFCA. So I think the more work we can get done and the more language we can have in place for review and discussion at the meeting in November, the full HITECH meeting, I think the better off we are. I know we're crunching for time. At the same time, I feel like it's in everyone's best interest if we can put the things that could provoke significant discussion or controversy on the table as early as possible so we can be sure to get those discussed and not get to late December or January and discover that there are some people who are really concerned about how issues and work have been framed.
I agree, Carolyn. I also think things like TEFCA, right, which are still a work in progress, right, are still working through. You know, there's a lot of public questions, appropriate inquiries, and, you know, whatever next steps are with the TEFCA, you know, somehow to delineate that, you know, we're reporting on our status. It doesn't mean we're done. And so I think a lot of people, I've gotten the feedback from folks on the side, they think that when we say, you know, we've worked on TEFCA and submitted initial requirements, they're like, TEFCA's done. No, it's not done. This is what we submitted, and what will happen next will happen next. So there may be a great way for us in this report to say, hey, these are the things still in flight, and we will still be doing more activities and make that very easy to understand.
I think it will be, that item in particular will be something that will be really important to the full HITECH, because when we got to the end of the discussions and had to present something to ONC, essentially the work group was split right down the middle, you know, literally 50% in terms of one perspective and 50% in terms of another. And what we actually brought back was something that provided some insight into both views. But I think among the membership, there's still probably some pretty strong feelings about one or the other, and that probably would benefit from some airing before we try to submit a report, you know, for ONC to take to Congress. Everybody feels like we've really covered all the ground and presented the issues in their full, unadulterated complexity.
Agreed. Carolyn or Brett? Oh, I think Brett had to drop off, but Carolyn? Christina. I meant to say Christina. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't have anything. I agree with what you guys were just saying. I think it's important to bring up these issues earlier. And do we want to kind of offline do some back and forth on some of this stuff as well?
We might want to, by email, take some of that language out of the document that was presented to ONC, actually for all of these task forces, but that one perhaps more time than others. Take out some of that language and see about how we can edit that to include in the annual report, you know, in a way that it is perhaps not as voluminous and a bit more streamlined, but still includes all the perspective and as much of the background and the underlying emotion as we can. I think the closer we stick to the product, the easier it will be to get through HITECH in terms of their approval. just because it'll hew closer to what was presented.
Agreed. I very much agreed. Okay, are we? I'm going to be cognizant of time. What time is this thing run till? Do we have enough time for public comment?
Yeah, we're scheduled to go to 1:30.
Okay, so we have a little bit of time. Okay, good. I thought for whatever reason it was one. Okay. Any other feedback or comments? Personally, I think the work that's been done already has been phenomenal, and it's a lot to put together and a lot to try to synthesize. And if we're from what I heard yesterday, what my takeaway from the general HITACH was that this truly was a just presentation of the volume of information questions, not the content of the information. I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was some confusion yesterday based on the organization of the presentation, but I didn't get the sense that anybody had any significant disagreement with any of the information that have brought forward so far.
Right. I have this worry, and I don't know how to solicit the HITACH for this, and maybe Carolyn, something that we can noodle. I really want to make sure everybody feels heard. I want to make sure that everybody with a question or a gap identification or a opportunity item, no matter how silly or bizarre it may appear on the surface, could be so significant and could be so worthwhile that I just hope everybody on the HITACH really has had a chance to speak their mind and just feed us back whatever, because I want to consider it. I want to look at it. I want this to be a truly transparent, you know, as encompassing as possible report. I think it's important.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this really is kind of, I don't want to say the mouthpiece, that's not quite the right word, but it is the voice of the full HITACH.
Yes,
so
that's exactly
in terms of getting the perspective and getting the feedback, I think two things would help that immensely. First, if we can really push down on our work and try to get a draft out to people, say 3 to 5 business days before the meetings where they have the opportunity to comment, then they've had a chance to look at it. You know, if you're having internet problems or you're traveling or whatever the sorts of life issues that get in the way of things, you've got enough runway that you can find some way to massage it. You know, it's not like the thing comes to your email the night before when you're in the hotel where the Wi-Fi is down and you can't make it work, so you can't see it. The other thing we can consider is having a long enough meeting or setting aside enough time in that meeting so that we can poll each member the way we did for perspectives on interoperability at the September in-person meeting. And Lauren and I can touch base on that outside this call. I think Robert Waugh, my co-chair for HITACH, would probably be very supportive of that because I know he also is very invested in ensuring that everyone has a chance to speak their piece and to get their ideas out there. The challenge is how we can work with the support staff and ONC to ensure that we can have those drafts early enough to send them out. You know, and it's partly on them doing their job, but it's also on us getting our job done and really supporting mm-hmm. their effort to get things in a timely manner.
And I'm thinking out of the box here, do you think it may even help further that once we do have that draft out there, because I think we can do that. I think we can saddle up and get that done. Maybe having Elise or some of the senior ONC staff also, you know, really encourage the HITACH to speak up. It may help having, you know, senior leaders say, hey, we really HITACH, you know, here's a draft, please give us your feedback. Just like she did yesterday on the call for comments. I thought that was excellent. In much the same way, it may help inspire anybody who may be feeling reluctant to speak up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really for that matter, we can even invite people to email comments to Michelle and Lauren, you know, if they're not comfortable speaking in front of the group, although I don't feel like we have a group dynamic where that would be a challenge or a problem for anybody. But I mean, if for some reason someone, either maybe they can't make the meeting or something else going on, you know, we can provide that venue as well. And then Michelle and Lauren could share that with us, with this task force.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Great point. No, and I agree with you. I think the group is made up of a bunch of type A plus personalities, which is why they got selected, right? These are the best of the best across the country. So no doubt. But sometimes there may be an item that somebody doesn't want to put out there for fear of controversy. And for me, those are the best items for us to talk about, because of those controversial items where we can get the most distance, because we have the right aptitude around the group, around the table, to really talk about it.
Yep. No, I agree.
Okay. Well, then, Michelle, I mean, if everybody else here on this call is good, I'm good with opening up for public comment.
I am.
Okay, great. Operator, can you please open the public line?
Sure. If you'd like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Okay, we've had the number displayed up for a while, so do we have any commenters in the queue at this time?
No comments at this time on the phone.
Okay, I will hand it back to Carolyn and Aaron for any closing remarks.
I think we got quite a lot done today. It's good to see that we have some agreement not only on the content, but also on the process in terms of the report structure and in terms of what we can do in terms of organizing the work and the review to ensure that we get the desired level of participation and agreement or input by the full HITECH. I'm feeling pretty good about it and really looking forward to getting down to the writing and the editing.
From my perspective, I agree. I think I echo exactly what you said, and I further add to just because of my soapbox for the day, that if there's any developers or any of the product community listening in, please consider everybody when making a product. all languages, all types of individuals. That's my soapbox for the day. Thanks.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time today, and please be on the lookout for our next meeting.
Thanks,
great.
Everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.